somebody out. Come on, stand on your feet, give him some praise this morning. Come on, praise him like you really mean it. Praise him like you love him, amen. Hallelujah. Somebody wants to say thank you, amen. Hallelujah. Oh, we serve an awesome God, amen. We serve a wonderful God. Solomon declared that he did so many good things, it was just too wonderful for him. It was. It was over and above his mind. Amen. Have you ever had somebody tell you something? It just went whoop. But when you think about the goodness of God, sometimes it just goes whoop. It just clears our mind. You may take a seat in the presence of the Lord. Amen. All right. I'm going to promise you something. If you'll give me about 20 minutes, I believe I can say what thus says the Lord. And if it goes beyond that, blame the Holy Ghost. Amen. Because it won't be me. I let me just kind of bring you up to date on me and Jennifer, and we're going to get into Word in just a little bit. And first of all, I want to thank Terry and Pastor Scott in his absence. 16, 17 years ago? They gave us an opportunity to spend part of our Christian journey right here on these grounds. I've told several people today that I remember that where we are standing now, that it's holy ground. Y'all believe that? Yes. I said that where we're standing is holy ground. And I remember that this ground was just a bed of crush and run while we were waiting. I can remember the day Pastor Scott and I sat out there right in front of his office and we were waiting for the concrete trucks to come in and pour the pad, which we're standing on right now. Jennifer reminded me that we have scriptures written on that back wall behind the paint. I assisted in building the sound booth and the reception booth and the stage. I'm going to start calling any brothers' names because I know I will forget somebody's name. But what I'm saying is that we spend a lot of time here. And I guess what I'm saying, I'm home. Let me say that again. I'm home. Okay? And First Lady's already told me, say, it's yours, so you do what you need to do. But when you're home, you also learn how to have manners. So I'm at home, but I'm disciplined also. Amen? We thank the Lord for that. Before we go, we've got some people who came to support us today, and I want you to see them. And I'd like to get those preliminaries out of the way because I don't know how the Holy Spirit is going to use me today. I know we're going to give a word, but I feel a prophetic word for some people today. And I know there's one person that I got to pray for, and I'm trying to hold that back before we get in the word, and that's kind of hard for me to do at times. First of all, I want to honor my pastor, Pastor Nairobi Lehman. And will everybody in today's Antioch Fellowship just stand up just for a moment? And we solicit your prayers. Come on, put your hands together we solicit the prayers as we are in the process of looking for a building for the church. And one thing that I wanted us to see too, this church used to meet in a home, then they met in the elementary school lunchroom. That's where I met them. That's the first time I preached for this church was in the elementary school, O.P. Earl Elementary School. So what I'm saying, if God can do it for them, he can do it for us because he is no respecter of person. And correct me if I'm wrong, I think in one of my conversations with Pastor Scott, this property is paid for. Is that right? Debt-free. 20 years, debt-free. I'm going to talk about Pastor Lehman a little bit more in the sermon, but also Bishop Artie Thompson and his spouse is with us today. They are here from Canaan Christian Center, where our presiding bishop, Bishop C. MacArthur Sanders, who's been on this property before. And before I go to word, I'm going to give him an opportunity just to exhort you and give a word for our conference, which is Partners to the Promise Conference of Churches. And one thing I will share about Canaan just celebrated 20 years, and they're debt-free as well. And guess what? They started from a house as well. So I guess God must be in the real estate business. You get a house, and your church will grow. Amen? And be patient. 20 years of what? Hard work. and diligence and staying with it. Bishop, you'll come up and greet and just give us a word on behalf of Bishop Sanders and PTP.
Thank you. In behalf of our senior bishop, C. MacArthur Sanders, the Canaan Christian Worship Center, and the Partners to the Promise Conference of Churches, I'd just like to welcome you and thank you for welcoming us. There's such a sweet and powerful anointing in this place. I'm not saying that just to be saying it, because when we got out the car, we felt that. But then when we walk through the doors and into the sanctuary, there's a lingering peace in this place. And I just want to say thank you. And it's more than a joy to be here, because I came to hear what the Lord has to say to me as well, so I can carry on.
Amen. To God be the glory. And so we're going to do the word and see what the Holy Spirit does. And before we leave, I'm going to have my pastor, Pastor Lehman, to come up, and he's going to do the benediction today for us. Amen? Amen. Praise God. What we want to talk about today, just for a short period of time, is the kingdom-focused church. Say that with me. The kingdom-focused church. That's what we want to talk about. And what we hope to do is to answer two questions. Are you a kingdom-focused church? And the second question, are you a kingdom-focused church member? Let's read it one more time. Are you a kingdom-focused church? And are you a kingdom-focused church member? Well, in order to answer those questions, you really got to understand what kingdom is. Now, we're in a day and hour where there are preachers all over the land preaching about kingdom, and they have marketed kingdom, and really they have really messed it up and don't teach it right. And don't get me wrong, I'm not a Bible scholar. I don't know everything, so I'm not a know-it-all, but I am a Bible student, and I study His Word because I love His Word, according to 2 Timothy 2:15, you know, that I studied to show myself approved. But we got to come to a real understanding of what kingdom is. Kingdom does not have anything to do with spatial dimensions. Kingdom is not a piece of land. Kingdom is not a country in the eyes of God. Don't get me wrong, okay? Kingdom, the best way to understand kingdom is to realize who God is and His attributes. And you see on the screen, it says that kingdom reflects the nature of God. God is omnipresent, meaning He is everywhere at the same time. He can be with us in Greer on Sunday morning and be here in Landrum with New Testament. And He can be in Charlotte with Canaan. And He can attend to our needs, because He's everywhere at the same time. He is not bound by space. You can't put a fence around God. You can't put God in a box, okay? He doesn't come in one package. He comes in multiple packages. Amen? Also, God is omnipotent. He is an all-powerful God. You know, used to be a program, what was his name, the comedian? He would always come in on stage. His key word was dynamite, you know? So, you know, you can literally look at somebody and say, God is dynamite. He's full of power, amen? Power to heal, power to deliver, power to give you victory, power to get you over. And if the truth is really told, some of us are on the other side of some things that we thought we wouldn't ever get through. Where's Joy? Joy, you already on the other side. I feel your heart. I can remember those days in Alabama. We were standing down there with Paul and my boys, and we're fishing. And he was so patient. And my boys were little boys then, kind of like Mason and them, and hard-headed, but Paul was so patient as we're out there in that water and we're trying to fish, and we'll never forget that. I also remember they stayed at our house one time, and we had two German shepherds, and had one that, I don't know, I think Joy must have made him mad one time, because she was just petting him. She rubbed him with his foot, and he snapped at her. So a few weeks later, they stayed dog-sit for us, she and her husband, who's going to be with the Lord, and the dog would not let them in our master bedroom. They slept on our couches all that night. Elena, my daughter, was there, but she didn't get him out. And they said, no, we didn't want to bother him. We just slept. And we felt so bad about it. Even to this day, I still think about that. See, Shay should have used some of that godly power to tell him, I'm sleeping in the bedroom, you're sleeping in the hallway. But it didn't work for them. But God is also omniscient. God knows everything. You hear the word that Bishop Thompson gave today? That God wanted you to know he hears your prayers? That's because he's an omniscient God. Not only does he hear your prayers, he has the ability to answer those prayers and to bring to the forefront that which you have asked for in secret. God will reward you publicly so that you can give him the glory for everything that you ask for. Somebody ought to say amen about that this morning. So God is omnipotent. He's omniscient, right? And he's omnipresent. He's everywhere at the same time. We're talking about kingdom. One thing about kingdom is my brother already told me right there. He said, don't be surprised if God changes your message. He's already changed it. Okay. One thing in the New Testament, I think there's about 160 times or more that you will see the word kingdom. I want you to know today that kingdom, like I'm saying, is not geographical, but it's talking about sovereign. God is a sovereign God. That's what the kingdom is all about. It's about authority. It's about his creative ability. Jesus talks about kingdom all through the Gospels. I want you to look, if you will, bring up Psalm 103:19, I believe it is. The Lord had prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruled over all. Somebody say, God is in control. So you might think you run something. You don't run nothing but your shoes over. You don't run nothing but your mouth. God is in control of everything. And you know what? So great, if you can take advantage of that control if you give it to him. Turn and look at somebody and tell them, you need to give God control. Say, release the reins. Put them in God's hands. You'll get where you want to go. And you'll get there quicker if you just give him the control. All right. So it says that God is in his kingdom. I want you to look at another scripture very quickly. Look at John chapter 3, verses 3-5. It said, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Let's go to verse 4. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb? Can and be born? Verse 5. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. It's not talking about a place, right? And many times you'll see in the word, it talks about the keys to the kingdom. When you get born again, you get the keys. You get an opportunity to enter in the kingdom. How many are in the kingdom of God? Amen. Amen. Aren't you glad you're in the kingdom? Yes. That's right. Aren't you glad you're citizens of the kingdom? Yes. And you know what we do as citizens of the kingdom? We just love each other. We sure do. Now, when we're talking about the kingdom church, let's talk about the nature of churches. Let me give you some definitions from churches. Here's one that I like. Hold on just 1 second. There we go. Now, this is a definition from A.H. Strong, who says that the individual church may be defined as a smaller company of regenerate persons who in any given community unite themselves voluntarily together in accordance with Christ's laws for the purpose of securing the complete establishment of his kingdom in themselves and in the world. Here's another definition. A local church is a kingdom community of believers in dynamic fellowship under Christ's lordship. Its purpose is to establish the kingdom as it fulfills the Great Commission with a passion to see every person complete in Christ through making disciples, maturing believers, and multiplying ministries. So what does a kingdom church do? A kingdom church does what? Makes disciples. Yeah. matures believers and multiplies ministries. Makes disciples, matures believers, multiplies ministries. Let's say that together. Makes disciples, matures believers, multiplies ministries. Okay, that's the acid test of a kingdom-focused church. Okay, let me give you another definition. Listen to this. A local church is a unit of believers who gather together in a specific location. In that location, the believers who gather generally speak a common language, are influenced by a common culture, often belong to the same ethnic or racial group, either by birth or choice. Of course, there are many variations in that makeup of local church, but generally, they have these characteristics. And you know, this morning, we're making the devil mad. Somebody say, fooey on ethnicity. You know what? Because we all got the same blood. We got the blood of Christ. Amen. I don't care if your skin is dark and yours is light. You know, we are what? All children of God. We're all citizens of the kingdom. You know what? Spirit having a human experience. Amen. Now, I know that, you know, in the world, we have to deal with issues. And I found out that, you know what? We got to stop trying to champion issues. Give you a story. I picked up a young lady in my car a few weeks ago, and we got to talking. And of course, people get in the car, I share with them about who I am, and then that I'm in the ministry and teaching the seminary and working on my doctorate. And through that, we started talking, and she started asking me questions. She said, "What do you think about submission?" I said, "Submission is the greatest place that a woman could be in." And she looked at me and said, "How could you say that?" And then she said, "Before we deal with that, what do you think about homosexuality?" I said, "It's a sin against mankind and against God." She said, "So you're trying to tell me that you believe in the equality of sin?" I said, "Yes, I do. God looks at sin as sin. When you sin and you don't get it corrected, you're going to bust hell wide open. You're either going to bust it with your little sins, plunkum, or you can bust it with your big sins, kaboom. But you're still going to go to hell because of sin." And she said, "How can you say that?" She said, "Well, how would a loving God," she said, "and you do love God. Do you believe he's a loving God?" I said, "Yes, God is a loving God." She said, "Well, how would a loving God send somebody to hell?" I said, "Well, God doesn't send anybody to hell." And I said, on the same token, he doesn't send anybody to heaven. It's a choice. He put it there for you. Life and death, blessing and cursing. You choose. And she said, "Well, now I want to get back to this submission thing because I believe my husband and I are equal." I said, "Yes, you are equal. Why do I have to submit?" I said, "Because it's the will of God. If you love God and God has kingdom rule in your life, you'll submit. And if your husband loves God, he'll love you as Christ loved the church, and your marriage will be blessed, and both of you will be blessed." She said, "But I stand for the women." I said, "Why are you a champion for the women?" She said, "Don't you stand for the black people?" I said, "No, I don't stand for the black people. I'm black, but I don't know everything about black people." I said, "But I tell you what I do stand for. I stand for Jesus Christ. And if I stand for, I'd be a champion for his issues, he'll take care of all the other issues in my life. I'm not a champion for the Republicans. I'm not a champion for the Democrats." Oh, there he goes in politics again. "I'm not a champion. I'm a champion for Christ." Turn and look somebody and ask him, "Are you a champion for Christ? Are you a champion for the kingdom?" If you're a champion for one of those, guess what? You might be in a kingdom-focused church. And you might be a kingdom-focused church member. Let's talk about kingdom-focused church members for a second. Go to Numbers. And then we're going to come back to the church. Numbers chapter 13. It says, "And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, 'Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it.' But the men that went up with him said, 'We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than us.' And they brought up an evil report of the land, which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, 'The land through which we have gone to search it, it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof.'" They were afraid of cannibals in the land. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. Keep on going. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. Now stop right there. They thought they were small and figured that the other folks thought they were small. Now, have you ever walked down the street and a dog comes to you barking at you? You know what the dog responds to? He responds to the fear in your heart. If you stand there and look at him, talk to him and say, you better get back in there and you better shut up. Most times the dog will go, and go on about his business. They thought they were small in their sight and assumed that they were small in the giant's sight. And you know what? History doesn't relay it, but I believe the giants were afraid of them as they were of the giants. Because don't you know them giants knew who they were, knew they were children of the Most High God? The devil knows who you are. You know what? You ought to be so full of God's word and so full of kingdom that when you wake up in the morning, the devil sends out an alarm and says, man, be careful. Bishop Thompson is up. Oh, man, be careful. Pastor Lehman is up. You ought to be so full of his word and so full of kingdom that what? He'll be scared to talk to you and talk about you. The reason I chose this scripture because later in the scripture, it shows that that Caleb tells the people, listen, we are well able to overtake this land. It goes right back to what Bishop said this morning about God answers your prayers. Some of you don't think he hears you because the answer hasn't come right when you think it should come. You know, sometimes we have to be patient and wait on God. You know, the vision, they say that the vision is for an appointed time and that we need to wait on it. And so in the midst of all of this, kingdom mentality is reflected in Joshua and Caleb. They said, we are well able to overtake our land. Basically what they were saying, hey, let's just go get it. I ain't worried about no stinking giant. I want one of them big grapes, grape big as a watermelon. You know, I want one of them big apples I can eat on for days. You know what? You know, sometimes you have to set the prize before you and decide that come hell and high water, I'm just going to go get it. That's a person with kingdom mentality. You know what? Your motto for your church ought to be, if my church depended on me, what kind of church would my church be? Let me say it again. If my church depended on me, what kind of church would my church be? Would it be a church full of fear because you're scared of everything? Would it be a church that sits on the log like a stump? I know Ryan used to do woodwork. And no, that's not Ryan. Put my glasses. That's the other one. That's Brett. Where's Ryan? Prize teaching the kids. Okay, tell him I talked about him today. He used to do woodwork, and I believe he would tell you that a piece of wood with a knot on it can make some of the most beautiful furniture. I heard First Lady this morning asking, okay, there's gifts in here. Somebody release your gifts. Do you know if you are a kingdom-focused church member and you holding on your gift, you're no better than a lump on a log, a knot on a log. Right. But if you want to make beautiful furniture for God, you got to release that gift and let him do it. Let's talk about some different churches. How about that? Let's talk about some different churches. And like I said, in the New Testament, we see kingdom used probably over 160 times. But you also see it all through the church. Now, let's talk about different churches. There's a church called the University Church. This church where the teaching is, the emphasis on teaching, learning, and doctrine, the University Church. You know what? If you come in that church, that would be the nature. They would be talking about Bible study and going to school and building yourself up by studying God's word. What's the next church? The Arena Church. Arena Church is a church where worship centered, where performance and entertainment are the key. Now, I found out in arena churches love headliners. They got to have the best singer to come in and sing. They got to have the best known preacher to come in and sing. They're more concerned about who is going to be there. Now, don't, by me saying this, these are my personal preferences, but I'm saying this to saying that that's not all bad if the person is what? Kingdom focused themselves, doing what they're doing for the Lord. What's the next church? The corporate church. The corporate church is a large, complex, efficient, and focused on a vision. Every church ought to be focused on a vision. When you talk about kingdom, kingdom a lot of times is translated as church. It's also translated as vision. So a corporate church is the large church. You might put the mega churches in there. Next church. The machine church. A machine church is program centered, focused on building, missions, and task management. Now, I don't know if some of you in our little city, there's a street not too far from where I live. There are like five churches on that street, five little churches. And each one of those churches probably average 10 to 15 members. Now, I'm not a church buster. I don't think they need to shut down a church, but I think somebody needs to get focused on the kingdom and focus on vision. And maybe they need to squeeze them together. They can get more done. And if you go in those churches, there's not enough people to support the church through tithes and offerings. So what they do, they have programs every Sunday. You know, they have the white dress program, the big hat program, the little shoe program, all these different programs every Sunday. You got churches that do that. And you know what? They're just trying to survive. So they're doing what they need to survive. They love God just like we love God. But many times, what? They are machines. They're programmed. That's all they know to do is do programs. They can't support the pastor, so they got to have a program for the pastor to support him. Now, that's not all bad, but you know what? There's a better way, isn't it? God's a better way. What's the next church? The family chapel church. This is based on family ties where personal relationships come first. Relations and relationship is very important. I preached a message not too long ago talking about sometimes we're related, but we're not in relationship. When I stand and look all across the room, I'm looking at all my brothers and sisters. And you know what? We ought to be in relationship with each other. Look at somebody saying, you're my brother, you're my sister. Look at them real good so you'll know the gender before you say it, okay? Say, you're my brother, you're my sister, okay? You don't want to offend anybody. I don't think there's nobody in drag in here today, so I think you're going to be safe, okay? All right, the next church. The legacy church. The legacy church is rich in tradition, often focused on a once great event to personality of the past, to a personality of the past. The churches that are living in the past. You know what? Well, my granddaddy was the bishop, and he did this and did this, so the church is kind of held back based on that. Now, don't get me wrong. All tradition is not bad, but we needed to balance tradition with kingdom focus ideas. Next church. The community center church, committed to community services and local issues. You know, they have evangelists here in this church that helps to link them to the community and link them to local issues. And so what I'm saying that here you got all these churches. So what kind of church do you think you are? And what kind of church member do you think you are? And so what we have to do, we have to get in contact with that. And the way you get in contact with kingdom is through getting in contact with God and the true nature of God. A few weeks ago, Pastor Lehman preached about doing and knowing who you are, if I'm paraphrasing it right. What's not so important is what you do, but it's knowing who you really are. If you're a true son of God, a true daughter of the Most High, you know, and I can say son, and that includes everybody, whether you physical male or physical female, you're a son of God. You know who you are in him, and if you really trust him and you really love him, you will do what God needs you to do to effect kingdom. Yes. Kingdom is about bringing people in. Kingdom is about people getting saved. Kingdom is about getting people healed and delivered. And a lot of times we don't see miracles here in our churches because what? We're not in relationship. We're not kingdom focused. You know, and it should make you wonder, why does Jesus talk about kingdom so much and about sowing seeds? Somebody who knows who they are has got to sow seeds to those who don't know who they are. Somebody who knows who they are have what? Have got to pick up the bloodstained banner and they've got to run with it. And that might be you. Turn and look at somebody. That might be you he's talking about. Is it you I'm talking about? Are you kingdom focused? Are you in a kingdom-focused church? We said a while ago, if my church depended on me, what kind of church would my church be? If you're kingdom focused, I hope that your church will be a kingdom focused church, a church that loves people, a church that reaches out to people, a church that is fooey on what color your skin is, but they hope that God will touch your heart and join your heart with their heart. You know what? And I want to say this too before I take my seat. Let me just talk to the white people just for a second. Anybody identify with white, just listen, okay? Find a way to identify with the issues of someone who, or people of color, let me say it that way. Find a way to identify with the issues, the struggles of people of color. Let me talk to the people of color for a second. People of color, sometimes we have to take the chip off of our shoulders to be able to relate. My personal opinion, history has made all of us victims. Yeah. And the only way that we can overcome is through a kingdom-focused attitude, understanding what God does. Yes. God loves all of us. Yes. So if you walk up on somebody who does not have color and they're telling somebody of color to go back to your country, be bold enough to step in and say, we all are here with our invitation. He said, I didn't come to hear that. I came to hear the word today. I didn't come to hear no politics or anything like that. Well, you the very one that needed to hear this. And I'm not talking about championing the issue of people who are victims. I'm talking about championing the issue of Christ. Christ loves, Christ delivers, Christ sets free, Christ edifies, Christ builds up, Christ shoulders our burdens. You need me as much as I need you. Look at somebody and tell them, find somebody you hadn't talked to today and just tell them, I need you. Find somebody and tell them, don't be afraid. They said, don't be scared. Tell them, I need you. You're my brother. I love you. I need you. And if you do that and you open yourself up to kingdom focus, it's amazing what God will do and what God will speak into your heart and how he will use you to lift people up. This number of people, I think maybe just short of 100, including kids that are here today, we can change this whole area. Starts out by praying kingdom-focused prayers. It starts out by forging relationships. And as an associate of today's Antioch Fellowship, I am forging a new relationship with New Testament today. Our church are linked because we're here today. I'm forging a new relationship with Canaan Christian Center, with this church and New Testament, because we are linked together. We start out through prayers, but we got to find ways to intentionally be together and to work on things. We got to have as much energy as Maria. Maria called me and texted me and called me and texted me and called me and texted me. Wait a minute. What did you call me? She called me and texted me till she got this information to me. And that's how we got to do. Sometimes we got to be almost like R.W. Shambach. You all remember the preacher R.W. Shambach? Who remembers R.W. Shambach? R.W. Shambach used to do crusades in Charlotte, and he would say that we got to get people into the kingdom. He said, if it takes putting a hook in their jaw and dragging them, you got to do it. And sometimes that's what we got to do. Not literally, but do it with our love. One of my best friends sitting in this congregation, sitting right there, that guy with the bald head sitting beside a real beautiful lady right there, we have some of the biggest discussions about politics. You know, he is a card-carrying Republican, and I am a K kind of a flaky Democrat. I say I'm nonpartisan, and we're talking. I can remember when President Obama got elected. You don't mind me telling the story. It's too late. I'm going to tell it anyway. Okay? When President Obama got elected, he goes, oh, my God, what are we going to do? Country. I'm going to Russia. So when we came here two weeks ago, he came. He said, hey, you didn't tell nobody I was going to Russia. They'll think I'm guilty of collusion. But we have that kind of relationship that we can laugh and we can talk about things. Let's work on getting closer together, saints of God. Life is just too short for us to be separated. One of the things that our organization does, we believe that denomination means division. And in our organization, it's an organization of about 72 churches, including five in Africa, and we get churches of all different denominations that are part of it. Black church, white church, we got a couple mega churches, one in Charlotte church, about 7,000, and we got a lot of little storefront churches like the churches I just talked about. But our bishop loves pastors. Don't want to take over the church. All he wants to do is to help people advance to a kingdom-focused attitude and to grow. And so I'm going to talk to Pastor Scott when we get back about y'all becoming a member of that so that we'll be connected. I know we've been connected for years with another group. That doesn't have to change. You just have two memberships now, okay? You know, and so that we can focus and know what's happening in each other's churches and everything and thus grow. Amen? Did you get anything out of the word today? Did anything help you today? Are you kingdom focused?
Yes.
That don't sound like you really believe it. Are you kingdom focused?
Yes.
All right. Are you ready to do what God tells you to do?
Yes.
Amen. That's what we got to do. We got to be kingdom focused. You got a new motto. If my church depended on me, what kind of church would my church be? And you know who determines that? You. You determine what kind of church your church is going to be. Sir, God is getting ready to enhance your prophetic gift. He's going to wake you up in the middle of the night sometime, and you're going to see things that you've never seen before. In fact, you're going to begin, as it were, to paint pictures in your mind. You're going to see, as it were, a spiritual cable vision. He won't so much speak things audibly in your ear, but you will see pictures. And sometimes you won't know what you're looking at until you get in the situation where it's actually happened and God will give you the words to say. God loves your boldness. And also, he's working on some health issues for you right now. And you trust him. God's got it in control. Amen. Hallelujah. Every head bowed, every eye closed. There might be someone here today. It'll be real easy for me to say, oh, everybody in here is saved. But there might be somebody in here today that does not know Jesus Christ and the free pardon of his sin. We want to give you an opportunity to know Christ. If I'm speaking to you today with your head bowed and your eyes closed and you don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life, you just take the opportunity right now just to throw your hand up wherever you are. Wherever you are. Amen. Amen. God is good. There's nothing to be ashamed of. Nobody's got that. Maybe you're here and you're having trouble walking the walk. You might be in a backslidden state and you need help. We want to pray for you today. And before you leave here today, we're going to sign you an accountability partner that will walk along with you. All of us have been there. This walk we call Christianity hasn't been a smooth major highway. It's had a lot of hills and had a lot of potholes. And it takes you a while to learn how to navigate around them. If I'm talking about you today, just throw your hand up just wherever you are. Okay. There might be some here today that have need for special prayer. I'm going to ask Pastor Lehman to come up and Pastor and Bishop Thompson to come up. And you need prayer. And there's some ladies here that are assigned to pray. Where are they still here? Where are they? Y'all come up with us too. Yeah, y'all come up here with me. I know what y'all do on your regular son, but come up here with me, okay? And we're gonna pray. We're gonna pray for everybody. Just line up right across the front here. Come on, ladies, come on here with me. Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. This is the prayer team that's coming up, right? Amen. Okay, we'll face them. And if you will, if you'll find yourself in front of one of these people, they'll pray for you individually. Pastor Lehman's going to pray a corporate prayer for the body. And after that, we'll come back with final remarks and we'll get ready to go home. Is that okay with everybody? Amen.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Father, we thank you. This is the day that you have made, and we shall rejoice and be glad. And we thank you for the rising of the sun, for the traveling mercies, for the health, for the food, for everything that you've done, for the clothes on our backs, Father God. We thank you for all that you have done, Father God, but we really give you praise right now just because of who you are. Simply that you are the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end, the first, the last, Father God. If you don't do anything else, we just want to praise you right now for who you are. And so, Father God, we lift up our voices right now and thank you for being the I am that I am. Thank you for being the I am that I am, Father God, that encompasses everything else. And so, Father God, in this praise, we just want to lift up your name, God. We just want to just magnify you in this place, Father. Because who you are answers all that we need. Who you are settles it, God. And so we thank you for you just being who you are. Father God, every prayer that shall be prayed, every unspoken prayer, every unspoken request for the needs of this house, Father God, for the needs of everybody under the sound of my voice, we thank you in advance because you are who you are in that situation, in that circumstance. Father God, we don't have to know, but we thank you in advance and we praise you in advance because you hear and you answer. So, Father God, as we all are assembled here today, we just want to bless you, Father God, in advance for everything that you're going to do. Every prayer answered, Father God. You won't leave a stone unturned, Father God. If you will bless the animals, Father God, if you will provide home for nature, Father God, I'm just so glad of what I know you'll do for me. Foxes have holes and birds have nests. Father God, you said that I'm just a little lower than the angels. And so we thank you for hearing our prayers. Father God, we lift up your name right now and we magnify you for who you are. It's in the mighty name of Christ that we all pray and give thanks. Everybody said amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen. God is good. Just a couple, you need to say something? Just a couple of acknowledgments before we leave. I want to thank Sister Teresa and Scott and New Testament family for having me to come back. It's just awesome for me. I just, you know, words can't express how Jennifer and I feel. Baby, you want to say something? Oh, okay. Oh, I thought I made it clear. I'm sorry. You covered her, did when you prayed, right? You covered her, yeah. You got covered. Okay, all right, but God is good. And also, I want to thank my pastor. Let me tell you about my pastor. He's senior pastor of our church. I have never been in a church where the senior pastor, you tell him that you're going somewhere, and he will stop. We stopped our church service today so that we could be here today. When we leave here, we're headed to Dutch Plate, and we're going to share dinner together, and we're going to do our finances. We're going to take up tithes and offerings. And we're gonna fellowship together. And I want to thank you. That means so much to me. But all my life, God has put good men of God in my life, like this man of God and Bishop Sanders and Pastor Scott Mills. And please let them know that we appreciate that. Let's get ready to go home. The old song says, "Lift Jesus higher, lift Jesus higher, lift him up for the world to see." He said, "If I be lifted up from the earth, I'll draw all men unto me." Let's stand to our feet. Lift Jesus higher. Lift Jesus higher. Lift him up for the world to see. He said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I'll draw all men unto me. Please tell somebody that you love them before you leave, and don't be telling a lie. You don't have to go home, but you got to leave from here, all right?